Hi, welcome to another edition of the PCRF podcast. My name is Dave Page, and I'm a paramedic instructor with Inver Hills Community College and a paramedic with Alina Ambulance. And I'm here with
Marshall Washick, paramedic with Health East Medical Transportation in St. Paul.
Dr. Keith Wesley, I'm the medical director here at Health East in St. Paul.
And Josh Salzman, the director of critical care research at Regions in St. Paul.
We're going to talk about a research project from the Journal of American Academic, Journal of the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry. And the title of the paper is called Preventing Children's Post-Traumatic Stress After Disaster with Teacher-Based Intervention, a Controlled Study. It's by Leo Walmer and Company. And appeared in April 2011, and I like this paper quite a bit, and I think we'll find some arguments in the room, so it should make for an interesting listening experience for you. So here are the facts as I understand them. We know that this is a study based in Israel, and we know that it is a country that is often at war, and as such, the psychological damage to children, being the trauma, the psychological trauma of being in a warlike situation, is a concern. So what they did was they took and randomly chose a group of three schools that they would do a stress inoculation for. So they used a curriculum. It's basically a 16-hour curriculum in which they trained the teachers. Instead of having psychiatrists do this, they had the teachers in the schools work through some scenarios with a story with these particular students, so that the next time that the alarm sounded, the students would have less of a post-traumatic stress reaction. And in fact, then war did break out, and they did attack, and or get attacked, and they had to go to bunkers and hide, etc. So it was a traumatic experience. And then they measured 3 months later to see if these children were affected as much, if they had received the training or not. So they looked at the six schools that had received the training and the ones that didn't. And they, in fact, found that the children who were part of the teacher-based intervention, pre-war inoculation, if you will, had an easier time of dealing with the stress. Most interestingly, and really unexplained, they allude to it but don't explain it, is that they have some theories, but the male students had an easier time than the females did. So for some reason, the males took better to the stress inoculation training than the females did, and they make some reference to perhaps it being due to the male character in the story that helped them kind of do that, but they really didn't know. So bottom line is I think this is a really interesting study, and my colleagues will feel free to disagree.
Mr. Page, I am not going to disagree with you until you walk through the door that I'm going to open for you. This is, no Please. Question, a wonderful story and study of the value of psychic inoculation for children who are at significant risk for post-traumatic stress. No question. But what the heck does this have to do with EMS?
Well, thank you for bringing that up, and I will walk right into that trap. I believe that there's just very little done so far with regard to proving that CISM, scientifically proving that CISM and critical incident stress management debriefing, et cetera, is of any value to EMS. There are proponents, and I am one of them, and I believe that it helps tremendously, and I also believe that there needs to be more science to illustrate and demonstrate. And I think this is a great model to perhaps introduce some sort of stress inoculation training inside an EMS curriculum for, instead of children, perhaps new EMS providers. And to be honest, I'm not sure if it would or wouldn't work for adults, first of all, because, you know, obviously this is a population of children that was studied.
Sounds like we've just heard the new curriculum for Inver Hills Community College, EMT basic course for 2012.
Well, perhaps that's a maybe. I want to incite researchers all around this country to join us in the process of research. And I think, you know, a 10 to 16 hour curriculum might just be the right thing to do. We know they will be exposed to trauma. So let's see if this decreases the post-traumatic stress.
It is very speculative. I would love to engage in such a study. I think that we have to be realistic about the difference in type of trauma, psychic trauma, that EMS is exposed to. Comparing that to the type of trauma that, from this study, which was clearly from an external source, which had a threat to the actual individual's health and life, compared to when we think about psychic trauma, I don't think most EMS providers think about the fear of being killed or attacked physically on the job as much as they deal with the guilt of possibly not, you know, wondering could they have done more on a call. The psychic trauma associated with dealing with seriously ill and traumatized children. And so the spectrum of the inoculation is so much broader.
Excellent point, Dr. Wesley.
So, you know,
absolutely.
Vaccines work, but I think, I don't know.
Perhaps the dose and the type of vaccine may not be the right one, but I would venture to say that if providers are exposed to trauma that is threatening to them. I mean, after all, we are exposed to life-threatening situations that are threats to our own safety. And
sure.
even the trauma of a child being killed is really the foundation of that, is the fear that it could happen to your child, or that, you know, that somehow the world is not upright and it's not fair and just, and that anybody can die at any point, and that why me?
I don't disagree with you. I think it's an interesting academic exercise. Do I believe that it would have real-time value? If you were to suggest adding 20 additional hours to primary EMS training to deal with, and I'm not understating the importance of PTSD and those that suffer from it, but when the majority of our providers leave EMS not from PTSD but from burnout based upon job satisfaction, I would rather spend 20 hours of educating our providers to what the realities of being an EMS provider are, to maybe inoculate them against a whole host of stressors, not just psychic trauma.
All right. I'll buy
so
that.
I look at the difference of this issue from an academic perspective, fascinating. But from are we going to come out with something that is implementable? Questionable.
Well, I'll tell you, implementable. I love the fact that they used this UCLA PTSD stress reaction or reaction index and a mood scale. And to me, that gives us an instrument that is operational and tested with other populations that we could use to test the EMS population. So in terms of having a measuring stick and a barometer to go, let's apply the same measuring stick to EMS. Maybe somebody already has done that and I'm just not aware of it, but
I did a search after reading this and I couldn't find any pointed psychological exam of EMS workers. There's a substantial amount in law enforcement, but nothing in EMS.
The intervention piece would actually really be the most fascinating part, because you referenced in your intro that clearly this is a population of children. So, and also the timing between the intervention and their experience in this war state may have a pretty significant influence if you were to modify this into a curriculum that EMS providers are taking. A, as Dr. Wesley said, pick curriculum topics that would be more applicable to this group, to an EMS provider potentially, but it would also be really important to understand that that intervention and the timing of it and the timing of any potential stressor that would happen is going to be a big influencing factor, because I think if you have a group of kids who had an exposure to this type of intervention, and it was what, 3 months later? So it's a fairly
the trauma didn't occur 3 months later. It's 3 months after the trauma that they actually measured. So if I reread it, I'd know exactly when the bombs exploded versus when they had the training.
Okay.
But I think you make a valid point. We're really focused though on the type of trauma. And part of the interest that I had was that some of the skills they were getting were humanistic communication skills, coping skills that would help them deal with conflict. And so some of the education was how to talk about emotions without, you know, without exploding or without having a fight or the rest of it. So I wonder if we taught our EMS providers to cope with emotion and deal with conflict in a more positive manner, rather than just saying, look at the big bad stuff that's going to happen to you. Perhaps we'd have a culture change in which self-help and that style of communication could be helpful. So the curriculum, though obviously inappropriate for EMS providers who are adults because it's a story about a child, has threads of, you know, other health into them.
I think that both of you make an excellent point. And, you know, my concern with this on this concept of inoculation is that, you know, things of this nature have been done. I mean, if you want to compare it to other life stresses or our desire to increase the awareness of our providers to the special needs of children, the special needs of geriatrics, we realize that just simply telling them at once at the time of initial education is not sufficient, that we have to continue to remind them and remind them. And you know what? Since 9/11, we have instituted a level of education that's required in almost every state, and that's mandatory of understanding of WMD. Perhaps that curriculum needs to be modified to add to it an area of coping skills, because that's something that's required on a renewal basis.
Well, thank you. And on that note, we'll conclude, and thanks for tuning in.